Okay, so my name is Tim Jones, and I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and the One Another Project in Trafalgar Square. It's the 14th of August 2009, and the time is 10 past 6 p.m. If I could ask you to tell us to start with your name, age, and where you come from, please.
Sure, I'm Chris Lintott. I'm 28, and I split my time between London and Oxford.
Okay, thank you. What was it you first found out about the One Another?
I think right at the beginning when it was announced, I must have seen it on the web in several places. I remember going to the website and it saying applications will be opening soon. So I registered for that, waited till I got the email, registered pretty much straight away, and then couldn't quite believe it when the message appeared and said I'd got not just a time on the plinth, but a really good time on the plinth. Friday at 7 o'clock, I think, is about as good as it gets in terms of having a decent out who aren't too abusive.
And what was it that inspired you in the first place to put your name forward?
I think a few things. I've lived in London for about 6 years, and I've always kept an eye on the fourth plinth. I remember the exhibitions in the National Gallery of candidates for things to go up there. So I was interested in the idea. I like Anthony Gormley's work. I remember seeing Field at the British Museum, must have been 10 years ago now, something like that, and thinking that the way that people had got involved in making those contributed to the art. And then the third thing is really to do with my work. I'm an astronomer, but I run a project called Galaxy Zoo, which has sort of involved over 220,000 people in classifying galaxies for us, images of galaxies over the web. And one of the things that's taught me is that A, putting lots of people together to do something's really a powerful thing to do, really interesting. You get all sorts of things from it. But secondly, within that multitude of people, an individual can still be heard. So we have amazing volunteers who've discovered specific galaxies, have spent all their time collecting galaxies that look like animals, which is fun. Yeah, fun stuff, scientific stuff. And although it's a crowd of people, you have these individual voices, and there's an obvious resonance between that and this project. A crowd of people on the plinth for the summer, but one at a time, and a very individual experience.
So how did you feel when you received the email to say you reallocated a slot?
When the email arrived, I was jumping up and down and was very excited and started calling people and saying, I've got a slot on the plinth. And then about a day later, I would say, nervousness began to set in, because the pressure to come up with something decent to do, or at least I felt it. Maybe I'm quite envious at watching the webcam. Lots of people seem to be able to just sit there and kind of enjoy their time on the plinth. But I wanted to do something, and worse than that, to do something artistic. With a capital A and underlining and nice flowing fonts and so on. So my first thought was to use the people in the square. So my first idea was to try and get a megaphone and start ordering people about and try and do some sort of pattern with them, maybe galaxies because of work or whatever, and get people holding things up and so on. I think luckily I went back on that, partly because an hour's a long time. And the idea of trying to keep people going for an hour was scary. And also because of what else is going on in the square today. There's free running championship stage being constructed, so I didn't know what space we'd have. So I sort of went to the opposite extreme and decided that I wanted to do something very still, something that people could encounter and wander off. It didn't really involve me, although I'm keeping an eye on it and sitting up there. And that's how I came up with the idea. To broadcast meteors or the sounds of meteors to Trafalgar Square.
So what equipment are you going to be taking up onto the plinth with you?
Well, again, this is where the plan changed. So plan A was the equipment you need to do this is quite simple. So meteors are shooting stars. These are things like the size of a grain of sand that have been shed from a comet, enter the atmosphere, and as they burn up, they leave behind a trail of ionized gas, and you can bounce radio waves off that. So if you have a normal antenna, what you do is you tune into, say, a radio station in Canada that you can't normally hear. But when there's a meteor, the signal will bounce off it and come back down, and you get this burst of sound. So you need a big antenna, because it's a faint signal, and then a computer to process the results, and an amp to broadcast it. And that sort of seemed plausible for a while until I started thinking about it. So what we've done instead is my friend Andy Smith down in Plymouth, somebody I've interviewed for a BBC programme I work on, has the antenna. So he's putting a live stream on the web, but has also supplied me with this year's greatest hits from a meteor shower we've just had, the Perseids. We're still in the middle of it now, but the peak was a couple of days ago. It's been loads in the media, which is good. And so I have my recordings, and they'll sit in, I put them into the amplifier, and they're each an hour long. So I will probably play half an hour from the peak, and then half an hour from just off the peak, and we'll have a contrast between busy and slightly calmer.
And tell us how and why you got involved in astronomy in the first place.
Depends who you talk to. My mum would say that it used to be stamp collecting, and I just moved from one obsession to the other. But the truth is, when I started secondary school, the school had an observatory, and they let a few of us have keys to it, and suddenly this amazing telescope was ours to play with. So that got me started. But I've sort of always been hooked on the idea that we can sit on a very boring small planet and still say something about the cosmos, and try and understand how it formed and how our galaxy came to be the way it is, and even, you know, explain what shooting stars are, and know that this particular set come from a particular planet that last came past through the solar system 10 years ago. So that's the interest in astronomy for me.
And what is it you get up to then in your daily life? You said you split your life between London and Oxford.
Well, the day job is I'm a researcher at University of Oxford, running this Galaxy Zoo project, so coordinating the efforts of this vast army of volunteers and making sure that scientists get to use their results. Occasionally that gets more exotic, like going to telescopes in Hawaii or Spain to follow up on the results. I live in London the rest of the time for family reasons. And I also work for the BBC, so I work on a very long-running TV programme called Sky at Night, which has been going for 53 years now, and I've been working for the last six, which is great fun. So that's the combination.
And how does it feel being part of that kind of such a long-running kind of programme, institution almost?
It's surreal, because it helps, because we can pretty much go anywhere astronomical and doors open, but you've got the sense of this legacy. The main presenter is still there, Patrick Moore, who's been part of the programme for... He's missed one episode in 53 years. So, yeah, I'm all in the deal is the far universe is my territory. That's what I work on. So galaxies, when I have to do interviews about the moon, which is Patrick's, that's terrifying. I interviewed a couple of the Apollo astronauts, in particular Eugene Cernan, the last man to walk on the moon. And he was, you know, that was a repeat of an interview Patrick had done 30 years earlier. And that was a bit scary.
And what other interests do you have? What do you get up to in your spare time?
Well, one of the reasons to stay in London is that I love theatre. So I used to, when I was at university, used to produce and direct. But I sort of just got addicted to watching since I've been in London. So lots of trips to Covent Garden or down to the National Theatre. Just to see almost anything that's on. I know I think I won't be in London forever, so grab as much as possible. I play real tennis, that's the other thing, which is the old version of what became lawn tennis, which is a fantastically complicated, silly-sounding game involving hitting balls off walls and targets to aim for, and there's even a bell that rings if you hit the right thing. But that's great fun. There are about 40 courts left in the world, so... play it when I can, and the advantage is that although I'm useless, my world ranking is under 1,000, so that sounds pretty good.
And how does it feel to be part of this one another project? What does it mean to you?
Well, you should ask me in an hour or so, I think. I think it's just a chance to do something... I was going to say it's a chance to do something different, but I don't think that's it. I want to see how people respond. The sound's not something they encounter normally, unless they go to lots of 21st century classical music concerts. It's kind of similar to some of that. But yeah, I expect people to wander towards the plinth to find out what's going on and to hear this sound and be confused about what it is. And then hopefully they'll walk away having noticed something about the cosmos, having realised that there are grains of sand, bits of comet hitting the atmosphere. I think the chance to inflict some astronomy on people on Friday night in Trafalgar Square is pretty good. And also the sense that it's going to be there ever is a bit scary. You're recording this. Obviously, what happens on the plinth is being recorded. I used to work at UCL, University College London, opposite the Wellcome connection at Kletch as well, so there's that link. I don't know, I feel sorry to it for anyone who's in a gallery having sat through this interview in 40, 50 years' time, but I'm rather smug it's going to be there. That feels very nice.
And what hopes and fears do you have for, let's start with this project and your hour on the plinth?
Well, the fears are, well, I hope I've said, you know, I hope people tell, I hope to, that people will go home and say they saw this nutter up there and they heard meteors and they didn't realise it worked like that. That's the hope. The fear is that I've been haunted by dreams about the amplifier not working. It's been delivered by a rental company, very kindly to your offices. So it seems fine. I don't think it's as loud as it could be, but then I have to carry it. So my worry is that no one can hear anything and I'm just a bloke on a plinth with a block, with a box, for an hour, which would be fine for me, but not for everyone else. And then for the project as a whole, I don't know, there's been a huge variety of stuff, but I don't think anyone's that I've seen's done anything really out of this world unexpected yet. I mean, in myself included, I would have liked to have come up with something that would stop the square and make people, I don't know, you must have seen them all. You'll tell me later whether you've seen anything or not, but I wish there was something that I thought of that could make the whole of Trafalgar Square stop for a second and look at the plinth, but not me. Hopefully somebody else will do that in the next few weeks.
And what can you see the kind of future holding for you as far as career with astronomy goes, and what kind of things are you wanting to explore?
Well, wanting to and achieving are different, right? So the short term is that we've tapped this amazing resource of people's spare time on the net. And it seems like a lot, 220,000 people, and they've all put a few hours in on average. But it's less time than Britain spent watching Britain's Got Talent, or which, for those of you listening in 50 years' time, was a well-known television show. But the point is, it's not a lot of time. So as people begin to spend more time on the net and start to want to do something with that time, to participate in projects like this, like Galaxy Zoo, like Wikipedia, like anything, to use something at the time. I think it's going to be an amazing 5 to 10 years to see what we can get out of that. So I'm working hard to try and find other projects that can use that. In the long run, I'd like to be on Mars, please. I don't think it's going to happen. There isn't enough will to spend the kind of money, but that would be fantastic. That's the long-term aim, please. So I don't want to come back. Just a one-way trip with a webcam will be fine.
And then how does astronomy make you feel then? So, you know, you're very committed to the one cause and all these different projects.
Is it a cause? I'm not sure. It beats working for a living. Cause makes it sound like we're for something and the astronomers of the world would march in support of something. I think we're for more astronomy. It's part of being a cultural race, species. I mean, you know, we have art, we have opera, we have trying to understand our place in the universe. I think that's important. And there's the boring answer, which is that scientific literacy is really important. We're facing global warming, misunderstandings about health scares and so on, trying to deal with statistics and a complicated world. And astronomy seems to be one way to get people to pay some attention to the science lessons that they ignore at school. Because people do care that bits of comet are hitting the atmosphere, or that galaxies formed 4 or 5 billion years ago, or that we know how old the universe is. So using that as a way in to get people to pay attention again to things that are really important, like understanding things like global warming, I think that's part of the picture.
And what other things would you say are most important to you at the moment in your life?
do most people carry around a list of those? Right now, the amplifier working, very, very short term. But, I care. Yeah, work is important. Like, the stuff, I only do it because it's fun and because it matters. I could do with a good Torquay United season as well. I'm a football fan. So, yeah, 3 points against Dagenham and Redbridge tomorrow. That would be a good start. Actually getting my ability to play real tennis back.
And how are you feeling 30 minutes before you go up on the plinth? What's the emotional journey been like?
Well, the amplifier works. That's the first thing. I'm quite excited now. Having talked to, I think I arrived before the 5 o'clock plinth that went up. And so having seen the cherry picker lift her onto the plinth and I wandered out and stood underneath and saw what she was doing, playing the violin. And then saw her come back down and walk back into the office. So I think having seen that, I'm just quite excited to go and do it now. I'm not sure, I haven't particularly called lots of friends and told them they should all meet up. It's Friday evening, so they're probably in the pub. But various people have said they might pop by, so I'll be intrigued by who turns up from various bits of my life and whether they hang around. None of them have ever come to a lecture I've given that I've put my heart and soul into, so quite why they choose to come and listen to Meteors for an hour, I'm not sure. But that's going to be fun. So, yeah, quite excited.
And are you expecting to build up some kind of dialogue with the crowd as well?
I'm not sure. I decided I didn't want to, because it's a sound thing that I'm doing. I didn't want to lecture, and I lecture, as is probably obvious from this, I go into lecturing mode quite easy, so I don't want to do that. So I don't want to... Plan Z was to stand there with a megaphone and say, "Now, did you know that the universe was Mr. Sludge?" I have friends who do that at Speaker's Corner with placards that say, "Ask me about the Big Bang." So it's not that. I have it, but I do have a giant whiteboard and pens. So I think that's going to be how I'm going to communicate with people on the ground and the web audience, because that seems quite more democratic, because you can speak to the web audience and to people on the ground at the same time while having the sound underneath. So we'll see what that happens. One thing I've got to do is it's the International Year of Astronomy. It's 400 years since Galileo turned his telescope to the heavens. He was beaten by an Englishman, but that's another story. But I think a plug for IOYA, because I will get absolutely murdered if I don't do that. So that's part of it.
And what are your closing thoughts or comments on being a part of one another and being able to do what you're going to do on the plinth?
Just want to get on with it now, please. I think, yeah, this is really exciting. It's great. And I sort of feel sorry for whoever it was that was supposed to be on the plinth on a statue for the last 200 years. But I'm very glad that it's been left empty. And, yeah, I hope other people get a chance. 50th anniversary, perhaps. Let's do this again.
Great. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.